just to acknowledge that everybody loves Brother Richard. So you can see, you can't beat a bit of religion on a Sunday. We're suckers for it, no matter what we think. Now, time for a roundup of what's on our screens, big and small. This week, we're joined by music journalist Sarah Hederman and Rory Cashin, entertainment editor of Joe.ie. Good afternoon, guys.
Hello. Hiya.
So, Zara, Blonde, this a kind of a Marilyn Monroe biopic. So it's in cinemas at the moment, but it'll be on Netflix from Wednesday. Mixed reviews.
Yeah, it is mixed. And I was saying to Rory, actually, before coming into the studio, that I found it quite a frustrating watch. So it's directed and adapted by Andrew Dominik, who listeners might know for his film The Assassination of Jesse James by the character Robert Ford. He's adapted Joyce Carol Oates' book Blonde, which came out in 2000. And that's a sort of historical biography of Marilyn Monroe, but focusing more so and Norma Jean Baker. And Dominik said that he wanted to make a film that focused on childhood trauma and how that shapes adults' lives, and particularly with someone of a stature of celebrity like Marilyn Monroe. Now, I found it frustrating because with that, with the kind of text that it's based on, there is a lot of projection onto Marilyn Monroe and Norma Jean Baker that kind of compromises then showing us some of her strengths in business and her wit.
Agency as a person.
Exactly, yeah. No, she's an incredible person. This film is 2 hours, 47 minutes long as well. And in that, it chops and changes quite a lot in styles. And the more you get into it, the more of a horror and psychological thriller it becomes. So if you are looking for like a conventional biopic, don't go to this. But if you are looking for something that is visually quite striking and has that kind of horror element and showing this story how we've never seen it before, it is interesting. And I initially didn't really like it, but the more the week has gone on, the more I've actually thought
really,
about
it's marinated.
I can't stop thinking about it. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely would recommend.
Okay, that's Blonde and cinemas now, Netflix from Wednesday. Rory, more Star Wars on Disney Plus Andor.
Yeah, so this is the prequel to Rogue One, which in my opinion was the best of the recent Star Wars movies because it felt so disconnected to everything lightsabers and everything Skywalker. It was kind of trying to tell its own story. It came from Tony Gilroy, the guy behind the Jason Bourne movie, so it has that spy element to it. This one goes even deeper into that genre in that it has very few action sequences throughout the first three or four episodes. It's a lot of people in power and Machiavellian conversations and who can you trust? No one really, because everyone is a double agent or a triple agent. And it really leans into basically being a spy movie set in space.
Okay.
It feels like, to me, it was like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, but set within the world of Star Wars.
Okay, and you like it?
I thought it was phenomenal. I think this is exactly what they should be doing with Star Wars. Keep away from everything we know already. Skywalker's done. We've leave that to bed.
Okay.
And now just tell other stories set within that universe.
Okay, so that's Andor. The first three episodes are up on Disney Plus now, and new episodes arriving every Wednesday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Zara, briefly, also on Disney Plus, this is a Mike Tyson series, Mike, and I believe Mike Tyson has denounced it, has he?
Yeah, he is very annoyed about this because he has claimed that the producers have stolen his life story. But I found this actually really interesting. I went into it not knowing a whole lot about Mike Tyson. I was a child of the 90s, so while all of this was going on in real time, I was oblivious to it. So it was nice coming into this not knowing anything, say, about his childhood in New York, his fraught relationship with his mom, how he was arrested 37 times before he was 13, and then getting into, you know, the details of his career and his successes, and then obviously his personal trials and tribulations, which are very difficult, obviously, subject matter to watch. The 8 episodes, they go between 21 and 31 minutes, and it's very...
Oh, grand.
Oh, it's very
Some
easy
bites.
To watch. Yeah, I watched it in two sittings. Performances throughout are brilliant. Trevante Rhodes as Tyson is so brilliant. And that is one of the great strong points of the series. Just every performance is very engaging. The writing is very good. It's from the same team who brought us I, Tonya. So similar
storytelling. Is there an element of kind of comedy to it
there
slightly
is,
as well?
Yeah, like within the darkness, there is a good bit of comedy.
Okay, that's Mike on Disney Plus, and the 8 episodes all there now, and bite size and everything.
Yeah.
Rory, Netflix, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. Do I feel there have been a few Jeffrey Dahmer stories already, or is it
more
other serial killer?
Yeah, more than a few, but this one comes from the guy behind American Horror Story and American Crime Story and Ratched. And he can be very hit or miss with his series. And this one is another one that I feel could have been done better in different hands, because again, he falls to Evan Peters, who's kind of his go-to actor for this, to play Dharmer in this, and it's so unappealing to watch. Like, from within the first episode itself, it's, you just immediately like, oh, I need a shower, like, right now. It is,
yeah, I can see you wincing almost, yeah, as you talk about it. Yeah, okay.
It's grim, and it never really lets up. And it's a very difficult show to watch. It's not something you would want to binge, because after one episode, you're like, right, I'm going to need to stop and watch like 10 episodes of The Simpsons just to balance out.
Okay. So you're actually getting into a kind of an existential question for shows like this. Do we need to watch this kind of thing at all, like, in a way? You know?
There are plus, like, Mindhunter was phenomenal. Mm. But okay. I think there is a way to make these shows without actually bumming out the audience completely.
Yeah. All right. So that's Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story on Netflix. Now, Zara, Irish language cinema is really kind of on a roll. Mm. And Rosha and Frank, which is in cinemas now. You love this, didn't you?
I did, yeah. And I actually went into it. I was looking forward to see it, but I didn't necessarily expect to have the kind of visceral effect that it did have on me, especially in an afternoon watch. It was really good. So this is an Irish language film set in Ring, County Waterford, and it's based on Rosha, who is a recently widowed woman. Her husband died 2 years ago, and we meet her in her routine of a very isolated state of grief. She has the same kind of daily routine where she makes her breakfast, she watches old hurling videos that her husband was involved in, and then a dog comes along, a lurcher terrier mix, who she believes to be her husband reincarnated. Now, that does sound...
This is just a particular kind of film, yeah.
It does seem very farcical and fanciful, but actually with the integrity and the sincerity that this film is told through, the writing is very strong, and also just the setting of Ring and all the characters around it just seem very normal, and they're very normal depictions of people. And it's then the relationship between Rosha and this dog and how the dog gets her through the grief, which is very affecting. The film's only 84 minutes, and I think I spent about an hour of that bawling my eyes out.
That's what we're so after.
So highly recommend.
Rory, the Woman King, which is, sorry, that's Rosha and Frank, and that's in cinemas now, I presume selected cinemas. The Woman King, which is in cinemas from Friday the 7th of October, there's been a big kerfuffle around this now and calls to boycott it and stuff. What is it and what's it about? And
oh, I haven't heard about the boycott, but that's, I'll have to look that up.
There's an undercurrent of a slavery story there that is diminished, apparently.
Oh, well, yeah, no, that definitely, I didn't feel it was diminished watching it myself, but I will have to definitely look up into what that is about. But the movie is set in the 1800s. The African kingdom doesn't exist anymore, of Dahomey, and their specific all-female warrior clan who...
And is it historically accurate?
From my understanding, it is entirely based on fact.
I don't mean that, but they, like, did exist and all that.
Absolutely they did, yeah. So it was the king, who in this is played by John Boyega, has this secret weapon that every other clan or country in Africa believes is kind of farcical, in this all-female warriors, because they, you know, they don't believe female warriors can stand up to an all-male army. So when war comes to their door, when the king decides he doesn't want the slavery being taken over, like the people from his clan being taken away and sold to Europeans and sold to Americans, he stands up against the neighbouring clans, and he has this female army, which is led by Viola Davis, who is just tremendous in everything and is, again, tremendous in this, front the army to fight them all back. It is a really, really good action movie with performances that you don't normally see in an action movie, while also being an interesting history lesson that I to a part of history I had literally no idea about.
So that
is interesting that there's a backlash to it.
Yeah, but look, who knows? That could be one person on Twitter. I don't know. Zara, very briefly, will you tell us about Trouble in Top Shop on the BBC?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a two-part investigative series on BBC Two. It looks at the origins of Top Shop, which I actually didn't realise it stemmed back to the 1960s, and it was part of a department store, Peter Robinson, and it struggled until like the 80s when Jane Shepherdson came under as the brand director, and she really drove Topshop to become this big company that was targeted to like teenage girls and young women for clothes. And she really had a strong ethos with the brand. And by 2002, the malevolent character Philip Green comes in. So it's all about the dichotomy.
Well told.
Very good. Like, okay. There's insights from fashion journalists, investigative journalists, and it's just a very interesting story about retail, especially now with the online kind of focus on shopping.
Okay, so that's Trouble at Topshop on BBC Two, Monday the 26th and Tuesday 27th of September. Rory, after Yang, just briefly, because I do want to play that song that haunts it during, but this is, I thought it was extraordinary.
That's so interesting. I thought everything about it was extraordinary, but I felt I was being hypnotized by it. It was like an art installation with a plot attached to it.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell is tremendous. I love the career trajectory he's on, and this story of his adopted daughter and the kind of the android that has been a big part of her life. And by trying to fix the android, he actually learns more about his own daughter. And it tells an awful lot to do with memory and the importance of artificial intelligence. And also, found families and made families. Even there's so much going on.
Yeah. And but beautiful. It kind of a Japanese aesthetic of the future.
Like, everything about it is astounding. But I felt like I was being lulled to sleep because it's so methodical.
Maybe that's what I liked about it. It's after Yang, and it's got a limited cinema release, but it's on Sky Movies as well at the moment. And thank you, Zara Hedman, Rory Cash, and that's all we've time for today. Just to remind you, you can listen back to all items from today's show on our podcast at rt.ie/Brendan.